massive security breaches at O'Hare International Airport, and Congress comes to town to talk about it. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. We're back today with Dave Savini, who is an investigative reporter for WBBM Television in Chicago, CBS 2. Dave's story, which broke about a year ago now and has been followed up in several reports since, dealt with security breaches that were just jaw-dropping at Chicago O'Hare International Airport. Dave, thanks very much for taking some time to join us today.
Again, it's my pleasure, Paul.
Listen, right after we talked to you last time, you wound up testifying at a congressional inquest in Chicago into this deal. And not only did your work and CBS2's work in Chicago get credit for having prompted this whole thing, but some congressional action is being proposed out of this. Tell us what the update is from the time we talked to you last.
Well, some significant movement is being made now to try to correct some of the breaches that we uncovered at O'Hare International Airport. And this O'Hare Security Summit, as it was called, was put on by Congressman Mark Kirk and Melissa Bean to take a look at some of the findings that we uncovered. And I was asked to testify before that group, and also the TSA and the Chicago Department of Aviation were also asked to testify. And basically what came out of that was several calls for legislation, some new regulations by Congressman Kirk. And that involves closing the loophole, closing the breach that has been uncovered. And what he wants to do is create federal security zones in airports where you have to be a U.S. citizen with a valid Social Security number. And the point behind that would be exactly to the point of what we uncovered, and that was all these missing O'Hare Access ID badges that allow people into secure areas, coupled with the fact that many of those people who had these badges were using phony Social Security numbers or fraudulent ones or ones of people that were deceased, no one was checking. And so that's, I think, the biggest thing that came out of this was that the Social Security numbers of the people who applied for these green all-access ID badges to everything in the airport, the airplanes, the cockpit, the cargo areas, secure areas all around the airport, the tarmac, these people didn't even have to have a valid Social Security number. And I think the problem there was that when they did a background check on them, they only checked the fingerprints. So if they came from another country and were only here for a few weeks, they really wouldn't have a criminal record in the United States. And that since they gave them a phony Social Security number, well, that's just another element, another layer there of a lack of accountability of who's actually in one of the busiest airports in the country.
Now, one of the complaints I hear about Social Security number issues among employers is that there are actually laws set in place to protect our privacy, which limit the amount of research you can do on someone's Social Security number. Was that brought up in any of the proceedings here? Did any of the defendants in these cases claim that as something that prevented them from doing due diligence?
Well, this is what came out. The Chicago Department of Aviation gave a brief statement and said that they comply with all of the federal government's requirements at the badging office. And what they were saying is we do what we're told to do, and this is not one of the criteria. There is nothing that says to check Social Security numbers. Now, what was happening, according to what we have been told, is they would give the responsibility of checking a Social Security number on the contractor who was actually hiring the airport worker to clean planes or load planes. They were supposed to check that during the employment screening, which they are allowed to do, and then they were vouching for those employees. And what we uncovered and what the federal government uncovered since we broke this story a year ago was that there were a number of people who had gained access because their employer, the company, vouched for them and said they had valid socials when they, in fact, did not. So because there was no secondary check by the federal government, no one was catching these illegal ID holders until the ICE unit, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, came in and leveled the boom on it. And yes, there are some laws in effect in Illinois that make it very difficult for someone to run a background check on Social Security numbers. But the question raised by this investigation is, should we? Because these people have access to airplanes. And I think that's what's going to be debated now by the federal government, by members of Congress, and definitely Congressman Kirk. It's on his radar screen, and Melissa Beans as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, before we get into the federal side of this, because that's a whole separate set of questions I want to save for after the break, how does this now reflect on the Chicago aviation authorities? I mean, it seemed as though the Illinois and Chicago end of things was where the most gaping holes in security were.
Well, there's a lot of questions that are still up in the air. We only know about the Chicago problems because our investigation uncovered them. This could be going on in other states. What happened is other Department of Aviations have started refusing to turn over the exact information that we obtained because there's other reporters like myself now who want to find out if the same thing's happening in their neck of the woods. So we were able to be in the forefront on that and brought all this to public attention. Now, as far as O'Hare International Airport goes on a local level, the Department of Aviation was in charge of a lot of things that they were supposed to be doing, and they apparently were not. And one of those things was keeping accountability of the 3,000 of all the badges, but, you know, of course, we found about 3,800 of those badges were missing, and not being deactivated when an employee had been terminated or quit from their airport job, which meant that there were green access badges, basically a key to the airport, floating around for anyone who wanted to try and bypass security. A major, major breach, the biggest of its kind that's ever been reported. To have thousands of these things floating around out there really puts the Department of Aviation on the spot. And what also puts them on the spot, Paul, is the fact that they had never issued a fine to any company who did not turn in these badges in a timely manner, and they had the authority to do so. Were they policing themselves? It appears they were not. And there's an audit that's being conducted, and we learned this during the testimony of the Department of Aviation, the Chicago Department of Aviation's badging office, to see how effective they were and where they could actually tighten things up, where they could actually start to fix things and make sure this doesn't happen again.
Well, now, tell me about, was it Mesa Airlines that was actually fined? If I recall correctly, the quote was, well, that's not really a fine, it's a suggestion, unquote. Some airline that was found to be involved in this was come down on, and I'm trying to, I don't want to.
It was Mesa Airlines, and they were actually issued a fine of $47,000, $1,000 for every missing badge. That all was prompted again by our investigation. Something they did after we, uncovered it.
But did they end up having to pay it, or did they skate?
You know, there's a process they have to go through. They can fight it. I'm not sure. That has not been turned over to me as to what happened to that fine. I think they have many months before they have to actually decide on what they're going to do.
We're talking with Dave Savini, who's an investigative reporter for CBS2 Television, WBBM-TV in Chicago. We're talking about the mess at O'Hare and some updates since the last time we talked to Dave. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Chicago investigative TV reporter Dave Savini from CBS2 Television, WBBM-TV. Dave's investigative unit broke a story about a year ago about security breaches at O'Hare International Airport that involved green security badges, which are essentially an all-access pass to the airport, even any secure area, were not being processed properly when they were turned in, and they were being used by other people, some of them illegal aliens, some of them with criminal backgrounds. And Dave's story exposed this, and there's been a lot of fallout now, including a congressional hearing in Chicago. Dave, I want to move on to the federal implications here. The thing I notice is that there seems to be a growing frustration among airline travelers that the Transportation Security Administration is so focused on four-year-olds who wind up on the no-fly list and taking my shampoo away and multi-million-dollar shoe analyzers. And then something so obvious and gaping as this goes on, and it takes months and months to get action on this. Is federal involvement in the badge process really going to be the answer?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I know that they came and testified, the TSA sent representatives to testify at this hearing because the man hosting it, Congressman Kirk, sits on the Appropriations Committee for their budget. And so it was almost as if they had to come in and take the medicine. The TSA did say the buck stops with them. Ultimately, all these breaches that we uncovered, the buck stops with the TSA. And the reason they say that, I believe, is because, you know, they regulate the Department of Aviation, and they could have issued fines or taken action against the Chicago Department of Aviation for failing to police its own program. They don't want to step on their toes. They did not take action. They have since taken action, at least in the form of an investigation of the Chicago Badging Office and some of the other things that are going on at O'Hare International Airport, which is the and this is happening, at, I'm sure, at other airports because I have seen it for myself in undercover video by some other enterprising reporters throughout the country. You know, there are employees that are allowed to enter the airports and not be screened. And I think that was one of the biggest things that Congresswoman Melissa Bean walked away with. She was astounded by the fact that we had brought to light the fact that these workers with these green badges are allowed to go through an entrance at O'Hare every day and never be screened for weapons or bombs. Their cars aren't screened and they're not screened. Now, we have thousands that enter this way. And with people using badges with phony information, that's just, you're asking for trouble. Now, we know that other employees enter other airports around the country the same way. There's these employee entrances where they are not screened as carefully as they are at the front gate like everyone else is. And I think there's really a need for an effort to be put forth by the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, the TSA, to really crack down on these entrances and the access these employees have, because it's clear from our investigation that there is a major breach at one of the busiest airports in the country. And if it's happening at O'Hare International Airport, who knows what's happening at all the other airports across the country?
Well, I find it very comforting to know that TSA is conscious of stepping on toes, especially after they make me take my shoes off. But having said that, you know, the buck stops here. Is that really a comforting thought given what's gone on? Because again, I think the point is that the TSA may be demonstrating what some government minimalists advocate, and that is that you can't turn a job like this over to a federal agency or it just turns into a bloated bureaucracy that is not effective.
And that was another element, Paul, of the testimony. during this hearing was, should the TSA be doing some of these things? They brought in the head of a private firm that handles the security at the San Francisco airport. And, you know, he brought in his numbers and said, hey, I had a better pass rate when they tried to smuggle weapons through our checkpoints. And we're a private-run company. He had said that they had, you know, really spent a lot of time on training and not losing people to turnover. So they kept a consistent workforce and how they tried to keep their, you know, call-in sick rate down. So they had enough people at every checkpoint. The TSA was in this hearing fighting for their longevity. I mean, the fingers being pointed at them after failing in a lot of these airports with 70% of the bomb-making materials getting through. There's so many questions. This has gotten to be a very large bureaucracy, as you say, and someone really needs to go in and take a look and say, hey, what are they doing? How well are they doing it? And, you know, maybe that's a job for the Government Accountability Office to go in and do a complete audit of them.
Well, Dave, over the course of a year, your investigative report has gone from breaking the story to actually testifying as the reporter before two congressmen. Where does it go from here? Are there any loose ends in this story that your investigative series is still trying to wrap up?
Well, the tips keep coming in, Paul, and this whole thing may be larger than we even know. And the problem is getting a hold of sensitive documents from the government. They don't want to turn over any of our Freedom of Information requests now and are fighting us for access to what we believe are public records and that we should be able to see. And you know, one of the things that we can't get a handle on and we want to find out is theft at airports around the country and how people are trafficking in illegal goods through the airports. How big is this? I think this is just the tip of the iceberg of exposing why a breach of security is actually aiding and helping people in the smuggling of weapons through our commercial airplanes of our country. We know people are pilfering through the baggage of our luggage and stealing, you know, weapons of military and law enforcement personnel traveling. We've got a problem with that at O'Hare International Airport, and there's undercover investigations going on into that. And so if people are smuggling weapons for financial gain, who knows, who can say whether or not people aren't also smuggling weapons for terrorism? And I think that's where we really have to, you know, take a look, a hard look, at the way all these different agencies are policing the front gates, the back gates, who has access to planes. And, you know, I'm staying on every tip, and the tips are coming in. And, you know, I continue to look at them and analyze them and see how we can advance this, because our goal is just like anybody else's goal. We want to tell a fair and accurate story. But, you know, we also want to expose issues of public safety so they can be made better.
Well, Dave, I know it's every reporter's goal to do important work, and it seems like you've latched onto an important story here, and we wish you continued success, and we'll try and keep updated with you as we go into the new year.
Thanks, Paul.
Dave Savini is an investigative reporter with WBBM-TV, that's CBS2 in Chicago. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.